The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin to my right over here, coming to you from downtown Las Vegas. A lot of basketball talk there in hour number one, Kelly, but I think it was worth talking through the different scenarios with some of these teams and what we think the actual chances are of them either coming back or advancing or all of that. I mean, because at the end of the day, I think we can, there are some people who want to play an underdog no matter what. And I think we could sit here and we could have kind of blown smoke and tried to give a scenario in which the Cavs have a shot in the series. But honestly, that would just mean I'd be fabricating that stance, right? Like, I would be making that up because I do not think that they have a chance whatsoever. So I think it's important to kind of say, you know what? Look, don't waste your money. I get it. It's fun to have a fat ticket. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a fat ticket that's going to end up just going up in flames.
Yeah. I've actually been a little surprised how many texts I've gotten about it from, like, friends being like, yo, this seems like a big price. Like, I can get 12 points with the Cavs. And you're like, all right, I got to explain all of this through. But you're it, like, is.
Yeah, but I mean.
Like, the Boston team is that good. Like, they're that good. Like, that's the problem right now.
And just exponentially better than what the Cavs are going to be putting out there from a matchup perspective, too. So, again, it's just. I get it. We've spent a lot of time talking about a series and a game that's 12-point spread in the playoffs, but because we don't want you to go out there and make some bets that end up in the trash can.
Now, I got Mavs futures, so I'll be rooting them along this entire series.
Sure.
But I will say it's going to be a little depressing if both of these Western Conference series end up stinkers somehow, because I thought these were going to be amazing series, both of them. Like, both Minnesota-Denver, which ain't looking so great right now, is going a lot of games. And then Mavericks-Thunder, like, I think that's going to be a tight series that's probably going 6-7 games.
Now joining us, you can find him over at True Media Sports, the Expected Value Podcast, at the Twitter machine, at Paul Carr. And guess what? His name is, in fact, Paul Carr. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. We got Champions League semifinals. Matt, I've got some comparisons for you.
All right.
To draw off between some of these teams and college basketball teams to kind of put this in perspective, so I can get into that as we go through the matchups here.
I love it. So
there we go.
So if someone's parachuting in right now, Paul, and this is not a personal question for me, or maybe it is, you know, maybe it is, and hasn't been following, you know, what's going on, where are we in the season? What are we doing right now in the Champions League? What is the setup here?
Yeah. Champions League, this is the second leg of the semifinals. So these two teams in both matchups played last week, and they play today and tomorrow at the other home venue. So it's an aggregate score thing. So this is where, you know, motivations get a little weird, where this team doesn't have to win and a draw is fine. So the lines sometimes look a little bit out of whack. So you just got to know what each team needs to do, to get through to the final.
Gotcha. Okay. So we do have a game today that looks like about, 4 hours from now is when this thing is going to go down, PSG and Dortmund. What are we looking at here? What's the breakdown? What's the bet?
All right. So the first leg was obviously last week. This was in Dortmund in Germany, and Dortmund won that one 1-0. So PSG has to at least win in regulation to get this to either extra time or to just win outright and advance to the final. And this is a weird one. PSG is, I'm going to say, they're kind of like Gonzaga, in that for a long time they were, you know, a really good team that could just never get to the final four or never get to the final and never win a title, whatever it is. PSG is kind of like that. They've got tons of money. They have Kylian Mbappe, one of the best players in the world. They've had your Messis and Neymars and plenty of talent, but they've never won a Champions League title. So I like PSG. They're a much better team than Dortmund is, but trusting them is difficult. Dortmund, on the other hand, is kind of your kind of Syracuse from a decade or two where they get in the tournament, they're 500 in the league, and they go on a run to the Elite Eight or something like that. You're not quite sure how they're doing it. So Dortmund's not that great. You know, they're like middle of the Bundesliga defensively this year. So I really don't trust them either, even though they've been playing well in Champions League. They're not good in league play. All that to say, I'm going with the talent in this one. PSG has to win this game again to advance. They're not going to get a much better chance to get to a final. And I think there's going to be goals here because Dortmund's defense is not very good. PSG has to push for them, et cetera. So I parlayed a PSG win, which on its own is around -210, and the over 2.5 to get to -115, close to even money. So if you can do that at your book, that's the angle I would take. A PSG win, this is one of those, they score early, they may just crush Dortmund. And if they don't, their fans might turn on them and I might hate it 15, 20 minutes in. But PSG went over 2.5, -115 is my play here.
So, Paul, once we get to this part of the tournament, is this a has something you've seen over the years? Do teams play differently? Is there more pressing, which leads to maybe more goals or goals against or whatever it might be? Does the style of play change considering it's no longer the we can accumulate along the way? It is like, no, this has to happen in order to advance.
Yeah, second legs can get weird because it's just the desperation factor. Maybe a decent comparison, NBA, a team is down late, they just start jacking up threes, and sometimes that works out well and they're hitting them and the comeback is on. And sometimes, it turns a 7 or 8 point game into a 15 point game really fast because they're missing the threes and free throws get made. So, obviously the scoring is a little bit different here, but it can get weird when PSG just has to go for it because, there's no tomorrow in this tournament if they don't. And, Dortmund's okay on the counter. So that could open things up well for them to get some too.
All right, let's head to tomorrow. Same deal. It'll be a 12 noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. It'll be a kickoff there. And it's the Real Madrid and Bayern Munich.
Bayern München.
Yeah.
What are we, -105 here for Real Madrid, +280 on the dog draw at +280. What are you looking at?
Yeah, so this was 2-2 in Munich last week. So, winner of this game goes on. If they draw in 90 minutes, then it goes to extra time. And I guess I should point out, these are all 90-minute bets. So going back to the previous example, if PSG wins, if it's 2-1 PSG after 90 minutes, they will go to extra time, but you will win your bet because it's a PSG win. It's over 2.5. So unless your bet explicitly includes extra time, which most don't, then these are 90-minute bets. Okay, so this one, this is your blue bloods. This is your, choose your blue bloods here. Duke and Kentucky, Kansas and North Carolina types. Bayern and Real Madrid, 2-2 in Munich. Real Madrid is the one you just can't kill. They have more Champions League or European Cup titles than any other team. Bayern is good. They've had kind of a tough year. Stuff hasn't really gone their way. But they looked really good in the first 10 or 15 minutes last week before Real Madrid stabilized and kind of figured out what they were doing and were able to get a 2-2 draw out of this. I can't bet against Real Madrid. They're at home. They win this game. They go on. They just have a way of getting things done. They're a great team. They have as much talent as any team in the world also, but they're also just that dragon you can't slay. I have Real Madrid just to straight win this game at -110. I think Bayern's defense is very suspect. We saw it at times in the last leg. Real Madrid finds a way to get things done with all their attacking talent. Carlo Ancelotti's their manager. He's one of the best in the world. I just think Real Madrid gets it done. I trust them more than I trust Bayern. So I play them at -110. You said you can get -105 this morning. So that's obviously even better on the Real Madrid 90-minute win.
Paul, the futures out there has Real Madrid +120 to win it all. PSG +275 to win it all. Bayern +350. Dortmund 6-1. Any bet to be made there?
I don't think so. If you wanted to get weird, Dortmund at +600 with a one goal lead is not ridiculous because they're, obviously have a decent shot to get to the final, and then you're in the final. And if you want to hedge, you can, or it's just a one-off game either way. So I don't hate it. You start getting into those long numbers with so few games left and it's not the worst thing in the world. So I don't hate it. I'm not rushing out to play it either.
All right, let's switch over to the Premier League, kind of the same setup deal that I went with it. Where are we at? What do we got left? What are we looking at as we head down the home stretch here?
End of the season just sneaks up on you. They have all these games and Champions League's going on, and suddenly you look up and there's essentially 2 weekends left in the Premier League season. Arsenal's got a small lead. They're a 1-point lead on Man City, but Man City has one extra game. So everyone plays this weekend. There's a few games midweek next week, including Man City, and then a week from Sunday, it's the 19th, I think, the whole season's done. So it's Arsenal or City. City is in second place, but in pole position because they've got that game in hand. But if they slip up, and I don't think they will because they have a pretty soft schedule, they're still deservedly the pretty heavy favorite here. But the possibility remains if they slip up against Tottenham, especially next week, Arsenal is right there to jump on their first league title in 20 years. So I don't think they will, but the story is waiting to be written.
Paul, how do the tiebreakers work when it gets down there?
Yeah, it's goal difference first, then goals scored, then head-to-head. So there's always these dream scenarios that it's tied all the way down and you go to a playoff, but that's not likely going to happen this year.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just goal difference first. Arsenal's up 6 on Man City in goal difference right now.
Gotcha. I found my bet for today. Kylian Mbappe, first or last goal scorer at plus money. He's minus 180 for any time goal scorer today, Paul. Yeah. How silly is that? Minus 180.
Yeah, it's weird. Last week he was just minus 110, which is why I jumped on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because they were on the road, but you know, not a huge difference for PSG in that situation. Yeah, minus 180 is not interesting. But first or last goal is not terrible because, I mean, he's the guy. He has scored, I think, the second highest percentage of any team's Champions League goals this season. So PSG really relies on him.
A quick recap here. PSG win parlayed with over 2.5 for Paul. And that's today. And then tomorrow, Real Madrid to win about minus 110, minus 105, something like that. You can find Paul over True Media Sports Expected Value Podcast on the Twitter machine at Paul Carr. He is Paul Carr. Paul, thanks for your time today, man. Appreciate it.
You bet, Matt. Have a good one.
Kelly, we had we now have some soccer bets to go on with all this. One of those little news nuggets from the beginning of the show we didn't get to. Victor Wembanyama, Rookie of the Year, got all 99 first place votes. That joins Ralph Sampson, David Robinson, Blake Griffin, Damian Lillard, and Carl Anthony Towns as the unanimous winners of Rookie of the Year.
Come on, Thunder beat writer. You couldn't give one out for Chet? Well done by Wemby. I think it's going to be more fascinating to see what happens tonight. I know a lot of people holding Wembanyama Defensive Player of the Year tickets. That will be announced this evening, so we finally get our answer.
71 games, Wemby, 21.4 points, 10.6 boards, 3.9 assists, 3.6 blocks, and 1.2 steals a game at 20 years old.
I want to know what the increase is at the books in bets on block props this year.
The last player to average 20, 10, 3, and 3, Shaq. And that's it. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is in the same breath as Shaq. Let's talk some NFL schedule when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game, Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin, as always, on the desk with me here. Kelly, we went to break talking about Victor Wembanyama, and we decided on break we're not going to not give this guy his flowers, right? So we went back to the deal of, for one, he joins names Ralph Sampson, David Robinson, Blake Griffin, Damian Lillard, and Carl Anthony Towns as the only people to ever unanimously win Rookie of the Year. That's good enough as it is anyway. Then, in 71 games this year, 21.4 points, 10.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 3.6 blocks, and 1.2 steals. The last player to average 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks in a single season, Shaquille O'Neal. So he's already in rare company to be compared to Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal did this in the 1999-2000 season, in which he won the MVP, Kelly. He won the MVP when he did this, and this kid did this his rookie season with the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he went out there and did it anyway on a trash team.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the best part about Wemby, too, is, I mean, if you love basketball, the best part about Wemby is him being pissed off this entire season. Like, he doesn't like winning Rookie of the Year. He doesn't like playing on a team that lost that many games. This guy is ready to win and ready to win now. I cannot wait to see what the Spurs do this offseason, because I think you're already talking about a guy. And this is where my opinion on him changed a little bit, Matt, they're going to take it slow with him, let him develop into get used to the NBA game. It's taken half a season, not even a full season, because Chet would have been the Rookie of the Year in December 1st, probably. What he did since they switched him to center in early December, and from that point on, I look at it now, Matt, as every year you're not trying seriously to win with this guy, you're wasting a year of his career. He's already at that point.
So this is why whenever we talk about these guys that are going to be coming up in free agency, right? And everyone's like, oh, Paul George wants to play in Philly and whatever. I'm like, man, Paul George, go play with Victor Wembanyama. Go do that, as opposed to like all the drama and the nonsense that's going to follow you to Philadelphia. Go down there, make that team a playoff team. If you want to cement some sort of legacy, if that's what you're, go down there and do that. Then if Paul George goes, then maybe like a mid-tier free agent decides to come in as well. And now you have two legit superstars with a mid-tier kind of free agent guy, and you have a playoff team. Like, that's how close this team is, because you have what you have in Wemby.
Yeah, the one I find interesting, because Paul George might be a little older for this example, but it's I think it's the first time that we see, and I don't really know that there's going to be a guy available this summer, but you're talking, give me someone who's in their mid-20s, who's kind of on that, you know, upward, you know, rising upward towards star status, already kind of a star, making that decision, Matt, to go play with Wemby instead of kind of being the guy on his own team. Whoever does that, that's the move. Like, that's the move. If you want to go down in the history books in the NBA, that's the move you make instead of trying to do it on your own. I hope they're aggressive. Like, I'll be.
Yeah.
I've said it before on the show. I'll keep saying it all damn summer. Go trade for Trae Young. I know everybody's got the Trae Young. They want to hate on him, but there are some things that guy does well. I don't care if he doesn't play defense. He can score. He might shoot a little too much for this team, but that's fine. Get him under Pop's control there. Run. How often we saw that little floater game and alley-oop action with Clint Capella and pick and roll, that was deadly for years with Trae Young and Clint Capella in Atlanta. If you're replacing Clint Capella with Victor Wembanyama, that you cannot possibly throw the ball too high for him to not catch and slam home, I think that could be deadly for years and years to come.
So, probably has there never been a more clear answer to this question than maybe when LeBron was 21 or whatever, 2021. If I could give you the number one draft pick of current NBA players to start a franchise around, there has never been a clearer answer. Again, probably since LeBron was 21 or whatever, 22. The answer is Wemby, and if you say it's not Wemby, then you're just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the answer is just wrong.
I guess I could say maybe Luka, like, a couple years ago, but I think there would have been there could have been arguments.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
There could have been arguments for three or four other players with Luka. And
this is hands down.
This is
like LeBron.
Hands down. Like, there is no question whatsoever it's Wemby, and it's Wemby with, like, a bullet, right? And honestly, the interesting question then at that point is, like, who's the second guy? And it's like, you're starting to make a pretty strong case for Ant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's not Wemby, and you say you lost out on the lottery and you didn't get Wemby to start your franchise with, you got to start with a second guy right now. I think Ant is making a pretty big case for him because, again, he's only 22, so you've got 10-plus good years left of him. I think he'd probably be my number two.
The part that's starting to irritate me with Ant, it's the, okay, everybody's starting to give him his flowers and give him his respect, and he's great. He's been awesome. It's not just that he was kind of underrated by everybody, but do you remember everybody trashed that draft class? Like, that draft class, and it was the worst number one pick in forever, and yada, yada, yada. He has turned that around so quickly. It is amazing. That shocks me to think about of how much he's come. All we talked about when that draft was happening was, oh, we didn't know if the guy liked basketball enough. Like, there were quotes from him, but we were concerned about that, of whether the guy liked basketball enough. And now he's one of the, you could make the argument, he's the best player in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, it really, like, I think that those two guys, and then, like, it's a fun exercise to say, but again, it's Wemby with a bullet.
Yeah.
I think it's Ant probably number two, given age and upside still. Because
You're building a franchise.
There's still, as good as he is now at 22, at 24, he's probably going to be better.
Yeah, this is NBA 2K mode. We're building for the next dozen years.
Yeah,
here, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, and this is, it's not like, but you didn't go create a player. You have five guys maxed out at 99, you know, five guys on the team with that. 12 points in favor of the Celtics tonight, 211. The total there, if you think the Cavs went outright, plus 470. Got the Mavs and the Thunder, 3.5. Thunder, 218, plus 136. If you think the Mavs win, if you think the Mavs went outright tomorrow, Pacers and Knicks game two. That is Knicks 5, 220.5. Pacers plus 164 on the money line. And then on Friday, there's already a line out for the Wolves and Nuggets. That is Timberwolves minus 4.5, 203.5. Kelly, you went ahead and put that Timberwolves ticket in there.
Yeah, bet Minnesota already. I think we're going to see a Jamal Murray suspension here. And man, even if he goes, the health concerns between him, KCP, Drew Dinsick brought up KCP.
Kind of that deal, right, too, like you just mentioned. I mean, like, okay, so we think he might get suspended, but even if he doesn't, he was 3 of 8.
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's not like he's making a big difference anyway. If anything, he was probably hurting the team.
I mean, we've seen home court through the playoffs so far worth about 5 points. I mean, I'm not saying I factor in that much, but this line's still a little light to me, even if Murray was going, and I think they're baking in a point, kind of hedging a point on whether he gets suspended or not here. But yeah, I lied with Timberwolves. tonight on the over in Mavericks and Thunder. I bet it at 216.5. I think 218, 218.5, you're still fine. That's a bet I think you're going to get a feel for really quickly, whether that's looking good and what pace both these teams are playing at. You saw it a little bit in that game last night with Indiana and New York. Indiana wants to do that, right? They want to speed up New York and get them out moving. You're talking about the second fastest paced team with the Pacers and the slowest team with New York. Both of these teams are higher-paced teams, the Mavericks and Thunder, but Luka loves to slow things down in the half court, and especially with that knee bothering him, you're going to see that. Thunder, I think, are going to try to speed this up as best they can, so I do like the over tonight. That game tomorrow, I don't know if I'll have... I'm so loaded up on Knicks series bets that game last night was enough to make me sweat. I think I'll lay off, but I think laying the points with the Knicks is probably... If I had to bet, it would be the only way I'd be going tomorrow.
If you're wondering what has happened so far, how that has affected the betting odds out there, over in the East, the Celtics are -290 to win the conference. The Knicks +290 to win the East. Pacers are 15-1, and the Cavs are 35-1 to win. There's four teams left, and the Cavs are 35-1 to win it all. Over in the West, the Wolves are even money to win the West. Thunder are 3-1. Mavs are 3.5-1. Nuggets sitting at 6.5-1. To win the West. It's almost like, to me, Kelly, where that is like, it's while I think they're done, it's like 6.5-1 now. If they do come back, they're going to win the West. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they do come back, they're going to win the West.
Oh, the Nuggets?
Yeah.
I'm sitting over here thinking. I agree with you. You could talk yourself into that bet, no problem, yeah. Sure. If you love them in game three, right, yeah, you might as well add a little bit there. I think one that's interesting is if you were, I mean, I'm already involved in the Mavericks, but if you were high on the Thunder or Mavericks, you're getting a little bit more bang for your buck on those numbers now than you were just a few days ago because of the Timberwolves going up 2-0 and kind of reshuffling these odds at the top. So something to make people aware of, because those odds are a little bit longer now at both those teams.
The championship market, Celtics +105, Timberwolves +320, Thunder 8.5, Knicks 9.5, Mavs 9.5, Nuggets at 12, Pacers 60, and the Cavs at 150. There's eight teams left, and one of the teams is 150-1.
And the series hasn't started.
To win it all. They ain't even lost a game.
It's not like they're down a game or two.
They ain't even lost a game yet. 150-1.
Gil and I talked a lot about it last week. It'd be exact as with the Celtics, if anything.
It's just absolutely wild. Let's talk some baseball with Paul Spohr when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you don't already have a VSiN Pro account, do we have a deal for you? $199, and we're going to give you 14 months instead of 12, 2 months absolutely free. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. You type in ANG as the promo code, and when you do, for just $199, we're going to give you 14 months of VSiN Pro. That is what we do here, giving the 2 months for free. It's our spring special, VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code ANG. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me, and it's been so long. I remember that mustache like it was yesterday. You can find him over at Fangraphs. Paul Spohr, buddy, I'm so glad to see you.
It's great to see you, Matt.
Seriously, it's been a hot minute. I know a lot of people want to talk to you about teams that you like, but I actually want to talk to you about some teams maybe. Are they done or are they not? I want to kind of get your gut feeling on all of this, and I'll start in the AL West, where we see the Houston Astros 10 games under 500 right now. You see the Rangers starting to play a little bit better. This Mariners team, great pitching staff. You saw Brian Wu that's made some rehab starts. He's about to join this rotation, make it even better with all that. The A's are no longer pushovers for whatever. I don't know why. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're actually winning some games here and there. Have they dug themselves? I know there's a lot of baseball to play, but given where we sit with this division and what's going on with the Astros, have they dug themselves too big of a hole at this point?
Yeah, I kind of think they have. It's not impossible, and they are the kind of team that could emerge from this, but I'm not going to fence it on this one. The data's really ugly here. 12-22, 353 win percentage. You just don't really climb out of this hole, generally speaking. So it would be notable. It'll be something that we talk about. You know, we always reference 2019 for the Nats. That's because it's memorable because of how much of a long shot it was. That's the mode that Houston's in right now. And basically what they're going to need is Fromber to get fully on track. Verlander to be good. They need Christian Javier back yesterday. And basically, Brown needs to get going to cover the pending regression of Ronel Blanco. I think Ronel Blanco can be a perfectly capable 4-5, but he's been a 209 ERA, 096 whip, and they've basically wasted that. That's really unfortunate. The offense is still pretty solid, and I like some of the guys that are calling up, like this Loperfido, I think could be decent covering for Abreu. It's a solid offense, but the pitching isn't there, and I don't know that they're going to turn it around in time. I'd be very nervous if I was holding any Houston tickets right now, even just for the playoffs, let alone anything bigger.
Not as dire as the Houston situation, but the Blue Jays find themselves 3 games under .500 in a division of death, basically, at this point, with the Orioles, the Yankees, Red Sox playing a little bit above expectation. The Rays always figure it out. They've figured out how to make two different guys now good again. Zach Littell's is good and whatever. Pepio's good for this Rays team. They can't hit right now, Paul, and you look at this, the pitching staff doesn't really inspire you a ton either, but that said, they have scraped together 16 wins to only 19 losses. Are you as confident that the Blue Jays are done as you are the Houston Astros?
Not quite as confident, but I am nervous more about the Blue Jays' path, being that they are in that AL beast, as you talk about there. They're the worst team at 16-19, and they're not a bad ball club. Like I don't think they're a terrible ball club, but they are sitting in last because of how difficult it is. The Orioles are a force. They're showing early on that last year was no fluke. The Yankees are playing excellent ball. The Red Sox pitching is really strong. If they get any hitting, they're competitive. But even if they don't, if they just kind of meander around .500, they're a difficult play every time you got to run into them. And like you said, the Rays treading water at .500 before they maybe make a surge. So yeah, I do have some concerns about Toronto, more because of their lot in life than anything that they're doing. Houston's is more about their talent. Toronto's more about what they have to overcome. And I'm just not sure that they're going to have the horses. The offense isn't where it's been in past years, right? If you play fantasy DFS, you worry about Toronto usually with pitchers. We're not there right now. I'm not running away from Toronto with a pitcher I like, even like a mid-tier type of guy. And that's their biggest issue. Their pitching's actually been pretty interesting outside of Bassett, who I think is going to be fine. It's their lack of hitting.
Paul, what about some of these teams off to hot starts? Is there anybody that you are not fully bought into? I think you're probably bought into the Orioles, but how about the Yankees, the Guardians, the Twins, the Royals? How about we go down a little bit further into the NL, maybe the Brewers, the Cubs? Are there any of these teams that are sitting up there several games over .500 that you're not really sold on?
I tell you, I like this Brewers team. And even when they were making moves, I wanted to stay bought in, you know, when they were trading Burns, because I thought that was a win now type of deal, getting Ortiz and DL Hall. That was a solid return for 1 year of Burns. I don't know that they've got the pitching horses, though. Shouts to Bryce Wilson. Great outing yesterday. Has been looking great. I think he has a chance to do some damage against St. Louis this weekend. But Freddie Peralta, and then you jump down to Bryce Wilson as the number two, Colin Ray, Joe Ross, Tobias Myers. And there's no cavalry coming, right? There's, you know, you're not getting Woodruff back this year. Even Wade Miley's out. I'd be more comfortable with him as a number two. DL Hall himself is hurt. And even still, I don't think he's the fixer. So they're playing well. I like the offense, but I am nervous about Milwaukee's pitching unless they add pieces, which they could certainly do. So we'll have to see if they do that. I think they will need to stay ahead of the Cubs there and really maintain themselves atop that central, especially with Cincinnati lurking as well. Pittsburgh, if they can figure out their offense, they've got some interesting pitching. I will say this Cleveland team, I'm wearing the cap right now. I love what they're doing, and they're doing it differently than normal, where they're actually hitting instead of pitching. The problem is, I think that's going to catch up. I think the hitting will regress, and I don't know if they've got the pitching. Now, they're usually pretty good at, you know, cultivating a guy or two out of thin air, and Ben Lively might be that guy right for them right now. But I don't know if he alone, even if he does sustain, can be the difference, because Tanner Bibee isn't exactly building on last year. Logan Allen's been rough. Tristan McKenzie's actually looked really good in the three starts since we learned of the UCL tear, but that's always scary. How torn is it? Is it on hanging by a thread, or is it a standard partial tear, which many guys are pitching with? That's the weird thing about that news, is tons of guys have a partially torn UCL. We just don't know to what degree. So I am nervous about the Guards, even though they've looked great so far. They have some great offensive pieces, but there's a potential crash there if things don't break their way and they develop some pitching to kind of backfill after losing Bieber for the year.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and since I've not been in this seat, and Paul, I haven't been able to talk to you about the baseball season heading in, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you have a Scooble Cy Young ticket.
I do.
I was gonna say. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that you have one.
Yeah. Remarkably safe bet there. Yeah. You were minus 5,000 on that bet because, yes, of course I do. Love Scooble. Had to get it in there. You know, 80 innings coming off last year, and yet the market was still hot on him. And I totally get it. Usually you're going to get better odds on a guy that's sitting, you know, with just half a season. And instead, everyone saw how great that half season was with him and said, this is going to be the year. And I think because he's had foolish seasons before, even if they weren't great, like 2021, he threw 149 in the third innings, 4.34 ERA, 1.26 whip, but he's shown he can take almost 30 turns. It was 29 starts, 31 appearances that year. So I think there's confidence in Scooble, and he has picked up right where last year left off. He looks incredible. The pitching is carrying that team. For the love of God, please don't let something stupid like win totals hurt him, because the offense doesn't support him. We've actually got a bullpen too. I say we, I'm a big Tigers fan. For those that don't know, the bullpen is actually pretty good too. That's really encouraging, because as long as I've been a fan, even when the Tigers were good in the mid 2010s there, the bullpen was not the part. It was the offense and the starting pitching. So to actually have a bullpen they can rely on is good for Scooble, because even though the wins shouldn't matter, and we've seen guys with low wins totals win the Cy Young, you know, it can be a tiebreaker. And if somebody's like 22-4 and he's sitting there at 16-13, stupidly, it would cost him votes even if it shouldn't. So I love where Scooble's at. He looks good. Obviously, the tickets now are probably very difficult to get at anything close to a good price.
Paul, it's the sneaky bet over in the NL Rookie of the Year to go ahead and put a ticket in on Paul Skeens. It seems like the Pirates have stretched him out now. They were obviously limiting his innings early on because they were going to go ahead and promote him. They didn't want to burn all those innings. It's three inning start. Now he comes up. Now he's actually starting to make full starts here, getting full pitch count stuff in. Been unhittable in AAA so far. Thrown more pitches of 100 plus miles an hour than the next guy by double. I mean, it's unbelievable with Skeens. He's going to get called up. He's probably going to fare pretty well. Is that the sneaky ticket, or do you think that some of these other guys just have too much of a leg up on him?
No, I think it is a very sneaky ticket, and I do like that. Get in before the hype really changes the price on you. I'm sure it's not bargain basement. I'm actually not sure where his market has been trending. Like it is still sneaky, though, because a lot of times guys want the players that are going to be up all year, and you're going to get somebody who's going to be looking at 4.5 months of work instead. But you can do a Rookie of the Year in that time. It's a lot harder to do anything MVP or Cy Young-wise, but Rookies of the Year, they can be four-month guys. They can be three-month guys if they're good enough. So Paul Skeens is definitely somebody I'm looking at there in the National League, because he could come up, light the league on fire, and really help carry this team. I will say, though, his teammate is the guy who might usurp him there, Jared Jones, and he will have the volume advantage, although I don't know how much, because it might be a situation where they slow Jones down while they amp up Skeens in terms of the volume of workload. Depends how competitive they are. If they're competitive, I think you got to pitch both of them consistently. But if they fall off, I think Jones will lose playing time at the end of the year. He'll start going three innings, whereas Skeens might then be trending up 5-6 innings apiece.
Paul, I could sit here and talk baseball with you for another three. I wish we had the time, but we don't. We run out here. You can find his work over at Fangraphs, over on the Twitter machine at Spore. He is Paul Spore. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks, gentlemen. Take care.
Oh, the baseball talk, Kelly. I know you are sitting over there just soaking it all in.
Hey, man. Great conversation always with Paul.
Yeah, you know what it is. We'll wrap it up when we come back here on the Numbers Game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you are not yet a DraftKings Sportsbook customer, we got a deal for you. Go in, download the app, use promo code VSiN when you deposit, bet $5, and we're going to give you $150 instantly in bonus bets. Yes, just go in, DraftKings Sportsbook account, promo code VSiN when you deposit, bet up to $5, and we'll give you up to $150 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings Sportsbook, crown is yours. Talking about Paul Skeens as we went to break there. If you guys don't know, he's in AAA for the Pirates. He was a pitcher you might have seen last year throughout the course of the College World Series. You probably weren't paying attention to regular season, but played for LSU, was unhittable, throws 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He's down there throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs in AAA left and right. Like I said, the next closest guy for triple-digit pitches is he has double that than the next closest guy. He's plowing through AAA pitching. It looks like they've stretched him out. It doesn't look like it's that long until he is going to be up in the majors. You can find about 15-1 on Rookie of the Year. I imagine the second he gets the call, it's going to fall down to 6-7, something like that, or whatever. So you can get in ahead of time. And as Paul mentioned, it's easier for a pitcher to rack up a Rookie of the Year type resume than it would be for a hitter, right? Because your counting stats look so – when you're a hitter, if you're only up for 3 months or 3.5 months or something, you're only going to hit, you know, X amount of home runs, and you can only hit X amount of doubles, and you can only get so many RBI. If you're a pitcher, you can still show your 1.75 ERA, you know, and whatever. And the wins might not be there, but we've kind of gotten away from that whole wins thing when it comes to pitchers as it is anyway. So it's easier for a pitcher in a short sample size than it is for a hitter in a short sample size. So anyway, that's the reason why I tucked one in there. It seems like to me the writing's on the wall, because the first several starts, it was like three innings, strict. He was out after three innings. Then they let him go four. Now they've let him go plus five. It seems like now they've kind of like stretched him out to the point where they're like, okay, maybe one or two more starts in AAA, and they're going to give him the call.
I mean, that's quick though, too, right? I mean, I know the guy's super talented, obviously, but this would be a quicker than usual call up situation, right?
Yeah, but he's a little older.
Yeah,
you know, played in college for multiple, because he transferred to LSU, so and all of a sudden he was playing elsewhere. A little bit older again. It's kind of one of those, what more do you...
Right, what do you need to see?
What more do you need to see? We've gotten past this whole service time manipulation stuff for a lot of these franchises, which is what we dealt with. A decade ago, everyone remembers, like, the hottest prospect ever is hitting 700 in AAA when he's homered 39 times in 12 games or something. And you're kind of like, why is he not in the majors? Like, oh, they got a service time manipulation. We're going to make sure we hold on to him that one extra year. And all that. Like, we've kind of at least gotten away from that with some of these teams. So anyway, something to, if you wanted to tuck away a future, it's not a lottery ticket. It's only 15-1, but it's, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. We've brought it up once or twice on the show. I think it's, either one you're betting now or be quick to bet soon. Right. Cause as soon as he gets that call up, like you said, the odds are going to be chopped.
So we don't always have to talk specifically sports betting stuff on here. And like, it's kind of a tangent thing. And I said to you, did you see this, you know, the Met Gala thing last night? Everyone's got opinions on everything.
At this point, I feel like the Met Gala happens every 6 months.
It does seem like it happens multiple times a year, but it doesn't. It is only once a year.
Right.
But yeah, it feels like it happens multiple times a year. And so there was, you know, Angel Reese went. People are saying like, rookie going to this in the middle of training camp. What's wrong? I'm pretty sure the organization told her to go. It's good advertising for the organization. It's like good publicity, right? But they're outraged because a rookie went.
Wait, I didn't know we were outraged about that. It's amazing to me how just with the WNBA season, like, unlike anything in men's sports, right, where it is like, hey, like, you're done with college basketball, great, like, get to training camp, like, a week later, like, it's time to play again.
Yeah, you have 15 minutes to enjoy whatever it is, your championship or whatever. Yeah, and we're expecting you to do some things over here in the professional level. But so we've had that story come out. I told you about, if you haven't seen the dress, Emily Radikowski. How do you say that?
I have no idea who that is, man. Radikowski? Radikowski? There's somehow a J in there. I don't know how to say it.
That was making all the rounds. Yeah. They call it a nude dress, which I did not know was a... was a thing, because that seems to go against what clothing is. Clothing makes you not nude, but she had on a nude dress in which you can basically see all the things.
Yeah, all the things. All the things.
But that led you into, oh, by the way, also, you know who else was there? Ben Simmons was at the Met Gala. And
usually not busy this time of year. Usually not.
Yeah, for him, it's kind of like, hey, he can get... He got suited up for something. It might not be it's not a basketball game.
This is amazing. I forget, there was a theme like winter garden something. I don't know. But the man's got a clock briefcase, briefcase or whatever you would call that.
That's trademark infringement of Flavor Flav. I don't care that it's not around his neck. I don't care that he didn't wear the clock around his neck. The fact that he has a giant clock in any way, shape, or form, and that's copyright infringement. Throw that outfit out the door. Sorry, you can't have a giant clock and then just act like it's all casual. No, that's Flavor Flav's deal.
I kind of love it, though, because it is the...
Guessing Flavor Flav's never been to the Met Gala, though. I don't know
if he's got that invite. Ben Simmons is still getting an invite, then he might be. Like, who's coming up with this invitation list? I mean, someone at this point has got to be like, all right, Ben Simmons, like, we're good on that. Like, we could find someone more famous, more on the rise to get out there. But I don't know. I think it would be a great flex, Matt, if you were like, hey, what time is it? And you're like, oh, let me just pop up my briefcase quick. I got a big clock.
I lie. 2017 Flavor Flav Met Gala.
See, there you go.
You can find it. 2017.
Ben Simmons is still getting invited. Come on.
2017. He probably had that show in 20. Didn't he have a show on like MTV or something like that around 2017 or something, like a reality show?
I think that was like 10 years earlier.
Oh, well, regardless.
I think.
Regardless.
Was it Flavor of Love, right?
Regardless, he made it to the Met Gala, so I was wrong. So he has made it to the
Met Gala. I'm a little embarrassed.
He has not made it to the Met Gala, me or you?
That's right. I'm a little embarrassed. I just knew the name of that show off the top of my head.
Didn't get the invite there, Kelly.
Yeah, you're about 10 years late on that. First episode of Flavor of Love was 2006.
Okay. Well, that just means it was probably multiple seasons, and then he gets the invite.
Yeah, he had to get famous.
Yeah,
right?
Re-famous.
Re-famous.
He was famous. He had to get re-famous through all that, and then he gets the invite to the Met Gala. So anyway, copyright infringement. Sorry, Ben Simmons. You know Flavor, and by the way, I'm looking at the picture. Flavor did wear the clock around his neck to the Met Gala because that's his thing. So Ben Simmons, no good.
I mean, take away the briefcase. I kind of like the suit, actually.
Kind of like he looks like he's at a Game of Thrones or something like that, right?
Yeah, the coat might be a little much, but I like the suit otherwise. Take away the briefcase. Yeah, they get the coat makes it more of a like Game of Thrones cloak feel. You're right.
But I mean, it's not bad. I think it's just more of the things people are kind of like, dude, like be self-aware.
Oh,
you hadn't played 10 basketball games in 4 years. Like, what are you showing at the Met?
Okay, now I'm interested in this. This is what my point was, though, about whoever's making the invitation list. That's where the problem. If you're Ben Simmons, you're saying you're RSVPing to anything you get.
Okay.
Right? I mean, like, you might as well take advantage of the opportunity.
You're saying if you're Ben Simmons, you never turn it down.
Yeah, sure. Well, even, what else are you doing these? You got millions of dollars in the bank.
Even if you're like, so what if I missed the last five seasons? Who cares?
I mean, what people are, you're going to show up at the Met Gala and you're going to get heckled by like people there? Like, probably not. You're just
the only one that would heckle him would be Flava Flav, and he didn't get invited this year. that's who would heckle him. Right. Flavor Flav would just be back in the back.
I mean, he's just rubbing elbows with other rich people. He's just a rich dude at this point.
He'd be standing there, be like, you can't have that clock bag. That's Flavor Flav. So, like, what are you talking? Like, you can't do that. You can't have a clock bag, man. Like, he would be heckled. He'd be heckled by Flavor Flav.
By Flavor Flav, yeah. Would be. Yeah.
Flavor Flav, you know, didn't get the invite.
Oh yeah. All I'm saying is the initial list. Someone's got to be. That's where the awareness has to come. Like, okay, who's actually famous on here and who's not? Are we really counting Ben Simmons as famous enough to attend this these days?
Probably not. So one of the we kind of sat there and danced around it, but we might as well, like, let's go ahead and talk MVP, NFL MVP tomorrow. Since we showed those odds, Kelly, I think there is at least an interesting discussion as to, one, how short some of these people are, and two, how long some of these other people are. I can tell you I do have an MVP bet in my account, the number that is out there is the number that I got it at, so no... It hasn't changed at all. I think I could make a fairly compelling case for why I made the bet. And so, I'll put it this way. It is a juicy number. So there's a long tease. This is a 22 hour tease for people.
That's right. I think you would you agree with my statement I made before, though, that it feels like this year is a bit more wide open than in years past?
Yes.
Okay.
I can tell you who it's not.
I don't know about wide open, but more open. How about
it's not Deshaun Watson, if anyone was wondering.
Okay, there you go. It's not Deshaun
Watson. If anyone was wondering, it's not Deshaun Watson. He is never winning anything. He could throw for 10,000 yards, and he's not winning anything. They're not voting for him. If you listen to radio, Gojo Golic is next. Watching on VEASAN, you get best bets. I'll be back in here tomorrow and Thursday as well. Good luck on all your bets here on a Tuesday.